I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to Hashtag Sponsored with Bella Bombshell and Mira Rose.
Where our heads are held high because our outfits are fly.
Yup, yup, yup.
Yes, we're talking about confidence this episode. I get a lot of DMs, I'm sure you do too, about how, or comments. How are you so confident? How do you build this up? How do I be like you? And different things like that.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, we wanted to talk about that, and we're really passionate about every person feeling great about themselves, and it's the way to succeed in life. When you feel good, you do good, and good things happen to you.
Yeah, and we're gonna have a very special guest on this episode who's on her way to the studio now.
I wanted to ask her, Gabby Faye, I believe that's how you say her last name. I wanted to double check with her, but
we'll check in with her when she gets here. But stay tuned later in the episode for our interview with the lovely Gabby.
Yes.
So I have a few questions about confidence. This is some of like the most confident, not confident, the most common questions. And like, I kind of just took them and ran with it, basically. So
okay.
We can both answer this. And then when Gabby gets here, we'll ask her too. What's one insecurity that you were obsessed with for years, but that you've gotten over?
This is going to sound ridiculous because I'm 5'7", and when I was growing up on Long Island, all my friends were 5'1 and 5'2, and I wanted to be shorter so bad.
I was like that too.
I was like, why am I so tall? Meanwhile, I'm really not, and now I wish I was taller in the modeling world and just in life to, you know, stretch out, elongate the body. So that was one that I was like, just because of my the small circle of my surroundings on Long Island, it was like, I felt like a tall
My oldest gal. Friend is 5'2", barely, and 90 pounds. So, like,
right.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm enormous!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's, yeah, I'm over that. What is one for you?
I would say probably, like, my big thighs. Even when I'm really skinny, I have, like, big legs, big thighs, and I always just hated it and would always wear, like, long pants. Even in the summer, I would wear, like, long swim trunks and stuff to the beach because I never wanted to show anyone, like, my big legs. And now I'm, like, at the beach in a thong, like, don't want tan lines. Like, I'm like, ooh, like, let me stand this way so my one hip looks bigger. You know, like, it's funny how things change and your perception changes based on, like, who you're spending time with and, like, what's going on in your life.
Definitely.
It makes the biggest difference. I don't care at all anymore. And if anything, I'm like thick and juicy. I like it.
Yeah. And you should take note of which people you're surrounding yourself with that make you feel good about yourself and that make you feel bad about yourself. You know, there could be people that they're very focused on their appearance. They're always talking about, let's say, diet culture or working out or losing weight, or just could be anything that kind of just makes you feel not great. Then, you know, hang out with the people that are on the same wavelength as you and you leave feeling better.
For sure.
Not worse.
I feel like once you get enough of that going, where you kind of have that going all the time, even if you're having a bad day where you feel bad about yourself, then you can still hang out with people that are like, oh, I'm trying this new diet and I'm like so skinny already, but I just want to be skinnier. I'm so bad. Like when you're just like, okay, you know, and you just, it just goes off your back. When I was younger, at least, like, I would have been like, oh my God, if she thinks she's fat, then I'm like fucking
right.
And I was listening to this podcast. I was like, you know, sometimes I'll listen to other podcasts for just like ideas about things I want to talk about on here. And I was listening to this one about like plus size confidence in the bedroom. And this woman was saying that like when she was 115 pounds, she like never had to think about it. And she was always super confident. And then she would like put the lights on when they were like having sex and she felt great. And then as soon as she was like bigger, then she's like, oh, I want to turn the lights off and blah, 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 blah. And she was like making this whole story about how when she was skinny, she was confident. And when she was plus size, she wasn't. And I was just like, hold on a second. First of all, this is a plus size like positivity. So like, change how you're framing this, because you're not doing a good job. And B, like, I was like, this is not everyone's story. Like, everyone that's bigger thinks that, oh, if they can just lose the last whatever LBs, like, mm-hmm. then they're going to feel great about themselves. But I've never been more insecure than when I was at my skinniest. Like,
definitely.
And I was starving myself and I was miserable and I was dating people that wanted me to be like a stick. And I'm just not built like that. And I was fucking miserable. And now I'm much more confident naked. And I don't give a fuck if I bend over and there's some rolls here. Like, I don't care. There's cellulite. I don't care. I think I look good. Like, I feel confident and strong now, even though technically, like, societally speaking, I was much hotter in air quotes when I was mm-hmm. like 18 and miserable.
Yeah, it's when you're so focused on the aesthetics and how you look and how can I get to the next size or this. I think if you put all your focus on it, you'll be the most insecure. Like we said, if you are so worried about it or putting value on that to determine your happiness, like you said. And I think when you focus more on, like, all the great things you're achieving, like, oh, what can my body do for me? How am I, like, just being healthy and using it to experience life? And oh, I'm funny. I'm charming. I mm-hmm. can dance. You know, these things that aren't, like, based on, oh, how, what's my waist measurement or whatever.
We have to derive value from other things in life, because all of our looks are going to fade no matter what they are. They are not going to last forever. And if you tie all of your self-worth to that, you're going to be miserable forever. You have to have other, there's so much more to life than how you look.
For sure. And I think this is something you do too, but I don't weigh myself. I haven't weighed myself in a really long time. And I even had to get weighed for that sculpting thing that I ended up doing, mm-hmm. The sculpture. And it did fuck with me. Like, knowing the number and thinking that it was going to be a lot less than what they said did start to weigh on me. And I was like, weigh on me? like, wink at the microphone. I was like, see, this, like, I need to let this go. I need to, like, not think about it, because it's just a number. It can be based on a million different reasons why it is that. And you could be more muscular and weigh more, and your body is a way that you like. So for years, I didn't weigh myself. And at the doctor, I tell them not to tell me, just write it down. So I think that's been really positive for me to, like, not mm-hmm. even think about that at all. And just also in stores, just buy whatever size feels good and fits good. Not worry about, like, it being either bigger or smaller, or it doesn't mean anything. It's just, this looks good on me. This is how I feel comfortable. And who cares, like, what size it is, basically.
Well, having access to just something that fits you in general, that's not like a hideous bag mm-hmm. cloak, which is what we've been forced to wear for so long, that makes the biggest difference in the world, too. Right. So when people are talking about, like, oh, you know, fashion is so, I don't know, surface level. And I get that. And it's becoming more so. And I feel like the plus size fashion industry is becoming more mainstream in certain ways, where just, like, aesthetics are still so important. And it's frustrating, because I feel like that was supposed to be kind of the antithesis to that. Mm-hmm. But regardless of all of that political shit that's going on, like, having access to something that you can wear that makes you feel good about yourself can affect multiple areas of your life, because we have to go out into the world with clothes on every single day. So it's not necessarily just this kind of, like, vapid topic. It does tie into health and mental health, and even just, like, I've noticed a huge difference just having more pairs of, like, workout outfits that fit mm-hmm. me well, just having them ready to go. Sometimes that one last step of, like, oh, fuck, where are my leggings? Like, where are my good leggings? You know, right. Like, I don't want to bend over in these. Like, just having them ready to go so I can just grab them, and just, you have to be able to just turn your brain off when you really don't want to do things like that. Like, go to the gym or whatever your self-care is, and just, like, go out. Like, sometimes I'm feeling so insecure, I don't want to go to the fucking store. Like, I think that's really common, especially among, you know, people that are curvier, and also plenty of women all over the place, because we're so judged at face value wherever we go. And especially in a place like New York, where there's so many people and guys are going to say something no matter what you're doing, like, having access to something that fits you is actually pretty important.
And I think it is something that builds my confidence to wear an outfit I really like dress up, even if I don't have to dress up. Like, just, I've been trying to practice that more, at least, like, don't save the outfit for, you know, this special occasion. Mm-hmm. Like, just wear something that makes you feel good and do your hair and your makeup. That is, for me, what I like, and makes me feel, like, confident, even if I'm having an off day. Like, sometimes if I just, like, do my makeup in a really cool way, or, like, get my hair right how I like it, then I start to feel better.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And I think another thing I'm trying to practice, like, if someone compliments me, I say back to them, like, oh, they feel like, oh, you look beautiful. I'll be like, oh, so do you. And, like, try to promote, like, healthy ways of speaking to other people. Like, even if you might be feeling a little down, if you start to like give off that to others, I think it'll end up like rubbing off on you. If you talk to other people how you would maybe want to be spoken to, or how you want yourself to speak to yourself, because we're like our harshest person. Like, we could talk shit to ourselves. So I feel like practicing a way of speaking to others will then kind of come back onto you.
And I think also complimenting especially other women, like on things that aren't related to their appearance,
right?
You know, like if someone did something really funny, like tell them that. If they did something really kind, like appreciate that them for that. Like, don't wait to tell your friends like all the nice things about them. Like, it'll really make their day. And I mean, if you see, and also like looks help too. Like, if you see a woman walking down the street, like, you're like, oh my god, you look amazing. Like, that always makes my day. And I feel like whenever I've said that in the past too, it usually makes their day too, and then it makes my day better. You know, like, we can all lift each other up, and we're not always so trained to do that. And so just speak up, people.
Yeah. Give off that positivity. And something I always suggest to people that are like, oh, how do you do like a boudoir shoot, or how do you put yourself out there? And I think it's really just taking risks and trying to push past the boundaries or comfort zones. And that can be difficult, but like a little bit each time. And because I think what you will see is like, what you thought would go wrong, like, doesn't, or it's not that bad. Or, you know, like, I thought I'm going to put myself in lingerie and everyone's going to say, you're fat, you're ugly, this. And like, either one person or no people said that. It was mostly positive. And I was like, oh, wow, if I can do that, then I can do this, then I can do this. So, and celebrate like how far you've come in certain ways. I think we forget like, oh, I never used to wear short shorts, or like you said, a thong at the beach, but like, wait, now I am. So like, wow, I should just celebrate how confident I've become in the things that I'm doing, the small things that add up to a lot.
Absolutely. So one of the other questions I was going to ask us is, what's one thing you do when you're feeling bad? But we kind of just went into that naturally. Okay. So,
or listening to like music, like Beyonce, like Devo, or like feeling myself. I feel like that like helps you, like even walking down the street, it starts to like sink into your brain and you're like, I feel good.
I feel like doing things to kind of try to pull yourself out of it, because I will get into like really deep slumps and feeling really depressed, and then like everything is a problem. So like, it's like, hey, maybe don't watch the really fucking dark, depressing movie. And hey, don't listen to that fucking music. Like you said, like, listen to something that's going to uplift you. Be with people that are going to uplift you. Read something that's going to, like, you can choose like how your mood affects you a little bit. You know, I mean, we have a lot of control over it, really. And if we're going to take responsibility for how we feel, then like, life is hard and it's full of a lot of struggle and hurt, and you can kind of choose. I'm a wallower, so I'm taking the blame here. Like, you can choose how long you want to wallow, and I'm working on wallowing a little bit less.
I'm like letting go of things quicker. I've been through that too, like,
yeah,
or like doing meditation if I'm feeling really anxious or upset and I can't get the thing out of my head, like,
yeah,
those apps and stuff
for sure. Yeah, that anything you can do to make the conscious decision to walk away from it can help, you know. Just take a break if you can. My next question is, imposter syndrome, do you get it? And what do you get it for?
What does that mean?
Oh, you haven't heard that?
No.
Oh, okay. So, like, I feel like this is, like, a common refrain among, like, creatives and, like, and probably with models and stuff, too. Like, anyone that's doing anything that's probably not, like, a lawyer, doctor, like, standard, on paper, like, good person, successful life things.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of the time, if you're like, I'll just use something that we're not doing as an example. Like, if you're like a writer and you write a blog and you wrote a book, but like you only wrote one, or you're new, or whatever reason, like, even if you've been doing it for a while, a lot of the time, if you're not successful, or oftentimes even if you are, you'll feel like an imposter, like you don't belong. Or like a lot of people will talk about, like, if they come on to success very quickly. Like Lizzo was mentioning this on her thing recently. You feel like you don't deserve it. You feel like it was a fluke. You're like, wait, why am I here? I'm not among peers here. I'm not good enough to be here. So you feel like an imposter.
Right.
And this was something I was going to ask Gabby about, too, in terms of music, because I definitely feel that with music, for sure. And I feel like it with a lot of things. But what do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think when you say you're something, and if you don't have like credits to back it up that people are going to recognize, or like if you're not making a ton of money, I start to feel like money is that's what equals like if you really are something. But,
well,
I don't
clout,
think it should
too.
Be. Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'll get, you know, some behind the scenes jobs and stuff, and then I'm like, wait, am I even still a model? Really? Like,
yeah,
you know, you go a few weeks without having a casting and you're like, wait, like, what? What's going on? Or I've gotten so many no's lately. I've just been like, am I doing something dumb? Like, what's going on here? Like,
yeah.
You know, it can, of course, when you're dealing with that much rejection all the time, like, there's going to be periods where it just is going to wear on you and you just have to keep fighting. Like, that's all you can do. But,
yeah. And I think that there is, I try to work on not feeling like that, or not feeling like I don't deserve something, or that I'm an amateur, because I do think we have skill, but a lot of times we'll discredit that or be like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. But like, I think if you do come into like a job or an audition or an interview with the confidence of like, I'm the shit and I do deserve this, that's probably better. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to do that, because a lot of times I don't. I'm like, oh, I just downplay like a lot of things, or I do believe that like we always are learning and growing and getting better. So I guess I always feel like I'm never done. So
yeah, anyone that's working on pretty much anything is never, I feel like we're never really done. Like, and that's what like adulthood is. It's like being like, okay, let's think bigger picture, because like you're never gonna be like, if you get to a place where you're like, I'm amazing at this, I did amazing, this was incredible, then like in a second you're already gonna be on to the next chapter, because it's always on to the next. It's always something mm-hmm. else. You always want to go deeper. You always want to get better. You always want to be more successful. Like, you're never like satisfied. Like, that's why, you know, you have to like let yourself enjoy a few of those successful moments, because it happens so infrequently. I feel like most of the time you just have to be like, no, I'm good enough. Like, and keep going.
Yeah.
Like, I was reading, I always talk about this book, but so I won't get into it, but I was rereading More on Art, which is just like the best book for creative people ever. And he's like telling his mentor, he's like, I just finished my first book. I finished it. And the mentor's like, great, start the next one today. You know, like, it's yeah. never done. Like, never, you can wallow in your pain, but don't wallow in your success either. Like,
right.
You know?
And we always say the importance of following other women that inspire us has really helped, mm-hmm. I think, both of us mm-hmm. with Instagram and social media and just seeing diversity. That's really, really helped me. And then sometimes if you start to feel bad seeing things on social media, I wish I could go on that vacation. I wish I had that hairstyle, whatever. I try to then be like, okay, I'm feeling really jealous. I'm feeling really competitive. Okay, what can I do in my life to like go on that vacation or like something similar? All right, let me like think about how I can like save money or make more money so that like I can go on that trip, or mm-hmm. reach out to like, for me, I would reach out to sponsors. Like, how can I get on like a vacation? That's what I really wanted. Or, you know, I try to turn it on myself of like, what can I work on and be happy for that person, not feel like jealousy, and just be like, okay, well, if I really want that, like, what can I do to get to the next step in my life?
I struggle with following like celebrities and stuff, because I feel like the amount of just like luxury to the point of like craziness is so like everywhere on social media right now. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's hard for me to like watch, you know, like my family struggling with money or whatever, while like people are living in these like fucking giant, like, I just don't yeah. even follow people anymore. Like, it, to me, it's not even necessarily like aspirational. It's just like, it makes me just feel bad. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's not bad to strive for like success and small successes too. Like, I feel like if everyone's just like, oh, I want to be a billionaire with like a mansion and flying around in a private jet all the time, like, yeah, that's great. But like, if that's what everyone's kind of lusting after and no one's focusing on like some things that go a little bit deeper than that material mm-hmm. stuff, like, you're kind of setting yourself up to be unhappy, because almost no one gets that. And a lot of the time, in order to game the system, it, you know, like, you're taking advantage of other people, like many corporate, like, I don't want to get too political, but like, there's yeah. many, you know, corporations where like people are making minimum wage and really struggling and losing their pensions, and then, you know, billionaires are getting like giant tax write-offs. Like, you know, it's, we don't have like a super great system right now. So I would say, like, I've had to just unfollow or stop paying attention, especially during like Fashion Week or like different things that are going mm-hmm. on. Sometimes I have to just not pay attention. And I think that that's better for my mental health. And I would recommend that for anyone that's like feeling the same way. Because I think a lot of us look at all this like luxury and we just feel like shitty, you know, about our yeah. situation. But a Definitely. Lot of us, we're in America, we have food, like, we're doing okay. We're like following our dreams. Like, we have so much to be grateful for. And I don't always think about that when I see things like that, you know?
Definitely.
So
So we have a special guest here in the studio. We have Gabby Faye.
Gabby Faye, guys.
At Gab the Guru on Instagram, plus model, musician, singer, extraordinaire.
Beautiful, wearing an orange dress. We love her.
Looking gorgeous.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you, guys.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, like where are you from? And
so I'm from a few different places, but okay. I was born in Jersey, raised in Orlando, Florida, lived in Virginia, Boston, Ryan, Salt Lake City, Utah, LA, Nashville.
Whoa.
And now
oh
my York.
Gosh. But your father in the Army?
Everybody says that. No, actually, it was just different job opportunities brought me to all these different cities. But New York is by far my favorite. I'm never leaving.
You're never leaving. You're ready to deal with the subway for the rest of your life.
I don't know if I'm
ready for that for forever.
And how did you get started into music and also modeling?
So that's a funny story. Music, I was always singing since I was like 4 years old. Since I could talk, I was singing. My parents would put me into like talent shows, school shows, everything. And I've been doing that forever. Modeling kind of just fell into it. And mm-hmm. pretty much series of events happened. I was living in Nashville. I had an acting agent. I was like booking a lot of commercials. And then one day, there was an audition for a plus-size model, and my agent was like, you should totally do this. Like, and I was so uncomfortable with myself and my body. I'm like, I'm not a model. Like, I'm an actor. Just keep me as an actor. Like, I don't want to model. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, you fit the description. You should just do it. So I did it. I had a lot of fun. It opened me up to a whole different world that I didn't know about because I had no knowledge of what plus-size modeling was. So I did that one job, and then a series of events happened. I landed in New York, first time in New York for my birthday. My brother paid for my ticket. My mom paid for my Airbnb. Spent a week here. Got a random casting for a TJ Maxx commercial. I went in. There's like one of those questionnaires. You know, like those big cattle call auditions where you get to fill out this questionnaire. So I did. They called me. They asked me where I lived. I put New York City because I was just visiting. They called me 15 minutes later, and they said, you're in New York City. We're in New York City. Do you want to come in for an in-person audition? I said, yes. So I went in, did the audition, went back to Nashville, got a call back, another call back, another call back. Then I booked it, went to L.A.
Wait, did you come back to New York for three callbacks?
They did a Skype call back when I was in Nashville.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's
so
good.
So it made it easier. But it was an amazing experience. Like, I got to go to L.A. to shoot this TJ Maxx commercial. I was, like, in a big yellow dress, and everybody saw it, and it was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yellow's your color. I remember your iMaze photos, too. Yeah. Yellow is definitely, like, a magic Gabby color, for sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you find that, like, you have one that's more your passion, like music or acting or modeling? Or
I honestly I'm an entertainer, so I love to entertain. So anytime I'm getting to make people laugh or smile or, you know, feel good about themselves, that's really just me. But I think my first love is always going to be like music and singing, because I just love that. I came out of the womb singing, so that's definitely my favorite. But I definitely love acting and modeling now as well.
I think we're all in the same boat. Yeah, we're all the performer types. We all do multiple different. I say I'm like a ham attention whore. I just want all the attention. That's me personally.
And where can people find your music right now? I know you have a lot of songs you released, which is awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you just dropped
those
a new track
out there.
Yes, I just dropped a new track called Summer's Over. And what better time to drop it, because yesterday was the official last day of summer for the year.
Yes.
So
I was listening to it on the train on the way here. It was really good.
You sound really great.
Thank you. So you can find my music on Spotify, Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, literally all the major music platforms. You can find my songs.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What's it like getting? How do you get onto Spotify?
I go through a distributor called DistroKid.
Nice.
So
I'm always curious because people always have different routes, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm always like, how did you do it?
Yeah. So that's what I did. And it's really easy, and I really love DistroKid. They've been like really good to me. So
cool. Do you still own the rights to your music?
Yes, I do.
Awesome. I'm taking notes over here. Cool.
Yay. Awesome. I know. I was wondering, like, is it really hard to get on there? Is it easy? How does it work? So that's
pretty
awesome
easy,
to know.
Well, Acast got us onto, you know, Spotify, plugging the podcast here. So, you know, maybe they can get us some of this. Yes. So we had a couple questions we were talking about. Today we were just talking about, like, confidence and, you know, what to do, like, when you're having an off day. And so here I'm going to ask you, like, a couple of the questions that we answered earlier. So the spotlight's on you.
Okay.
What's one insecurity that you were obsessed with for years but that you've gotten over now?
I think just being a chubby kid. Like, I was literally the chubbiest kid in my class all throughout school. So
we were both in the similar boat.
So, like, I had to just, and at one, like, at some point, you have to just kind of laugh at yourself, make fun of yourself, and make it lighthearted, because like the kids would just bully me all the time and be like, oh, you're so chubby, you're so fat. And like at first it would hurt my feelings, but after a while I'm like, okay, these kids are never gonna like me, so I might as well just like myself. And yeah, I would just start making jokes about it, and it just, I got over it.
Oh, the sense of humor defense mechanism.
Right. Yeah.
An age old
go-to.
What's one thing that you do when you're just like having an off day and you're feeling like really insecure? Or do you have days like that?
I would say more so, I wouldn't say the typical insecure days. I would say I have days that I feel like I'm not accomplishing enough, and mm-hmm. I'm not worthy enough to be doing what I'm doing every day, which is, you know, entertainment, modeling, and things like that. So I think those days, I like to take time to self-reflect. I like to take time to be alone, to play my music, to play my guitar, and just to, you know, come back into my own and then exert myself again the next day and try again the next day. But mm-hmm. those days, I just kind of chill.
Mm-hmm. Good advice.
Perfect.
Good advice.
That's good.
And along the same lines of that last question, what, like, do you get imposter syndrome? And if you do, like, what is it for? Like, is it for, like, music, or is it for modeling, or is it for nothing? Like, what is your story with imposter syndrome?
Explain imposter
syndrome.
That's
what I had to say.
It's so funny. I thought everyone knew this. So basically, like, yeah, imposter syndrome is like what you were just mentioning, like days when you're just like, oh, I don't belong here. I'm not like, it's the feeling of like that you've snuck in. Like, it's, you're doing something, right? Like, you've either started working or you've been in the business for a little bit. So it's not like you're a complete novice, but mm-hmm. you still feel like, ooh, like I snuck in somehow. That's what imposter syndrome is. Yeah. Do you have that ever or no?
I do, and I think really when it comes down to that, and you'll see it by the way I let people mistreat me or behave towards me, because I forget that I'm like, I work hard every day and I work hard to be doing what I'm doing every day. But sometimes I get back into like the high school Gabby where I'm just mm-hmm. like, I want people to be nice to me. So I'm going to take their crap. And then I have to remember like, no, like you deserve more than that. That's mm-hmm. why you work so hard every day. That's why you make sacrifices to like live out your dreams and your passions and your goals. So I think it comes more down to that. And I do have those days and I have to check myself. I'm like, listen, you can't take abuse mm-hmm. from people just because you want to be liked by people, you know, like, mm-hmm. so I definitely had to work on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you do a lot of fit modeling. Can you explain like what is a fit model to people that don't know?
Yes, a fit model is a live mannequin. So basically I would go into a client's office and they will put clothes on me, like whether it be a dress, shirt, tops, pants, and I will tell them like what needs to happen to fit it correctly on my body, and mm-hmm. then they'll mass produce it for store. So for example, if it's a little bit baggy by the chest, I'll say like, you know, take off a half an inch by the bust and give me a little bit more length at the bottom of the hem, things like that. So, and then they would just use that and make sizes and grade up and grade down.
So what's one of your, like, if you can say, what's one of your like favorite fit clients?
Oh my gosh, Carrie from Paper Tea. I love her so much. Carrie, if you're listening, I love you. She,
well, please make sure to mention that she's featured on our podcast. Get us on a listener, please.
Yes, I definitely will. She's become one of my really good friends. She's mm-hmm. like around my age, and I feel so comfortable with her. And when I first started, and I didn't have any clients, I was just subbing for other models, she was my first real client. And this girl, from day one, she would hire me all the time. And, like, we just have such a great working relationship. And she's been, I don't know, she's been so good to me. Like, we've gone out and, like, we've done silent disco together the summertime.
What is silent
disco?
That's,
like, my favorite. Oh, when you have the... Everybody has headphones.
Oh, like silent
on.
Rave. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know we were still saying disco. I guess I'm behind the time.
I guess. But like something a lot of people don't know about fit modeling is there's like a lot of terms you need to know. Like you really need to be knowledgeable and research I get intimidated when I go to castings. I'm like, I don't know enough. Like, I don't know, like, the drape of the outfit or the, like, you know, these terms that you're expected to know. So
or
it's
like,
not just, like, having the right measurements. It's also, like,
But also having your right measurements like followed. Everyone's like, oh, what's your upper bicep? I'm like, I don't fucking know. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
What's
you know?
Your knee these like, days? I don't know.
Like, I know my like main three and my inseam and my shoes, but like everything else, I mean, that could change based on how much pizza I've had that week. I mean, look.
It's very true. And that's the hardest thing about fit modeling is that you have to keep your measurements. And I like to eat.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of fit models, their process is to like eat the same foods or same meals like every day. Like Mondays I have like, you know.
So do you do that?
I don't know. I just monitor portion sizes. And if I have like a cheat day, if I have more like today, I'm going to work out and like eat greens more tomorrow to balance it out. Because it's really hard for me. Like I love food. I love going out to eat. I the structure of having to eat the same thing over and over again, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
It works for some people. It's just not me.
Yeah,
for sure.
I definitely don't like to monitor things too closely, but that's from years of calorie counting.
I'm doing that.
Yeah.
So on another note, like how would you describe your sound? I think you have on your Instagram, it's like soul pop.
Soul pop, I love that. Can you give us like a little taste? Just hold your phone up to the mic and just like give us a little taste of your beautifulness.
Of course.
Yeah.
I love the new...
I like Better, too, that song, too. But I do like the new one. I feel like it's the music in the background is really, like, just sounds really good, like crisp, but it sounds like really good quality and, like, catchy. And
yeah, where do
you
record? You
feel good.
So I work with an audio engineer in my neighborhood. His name is Aaron, and he's really good. And I was working with someone else last year, and we clicked, and we did a really good job together, but it's, like, I've noticed like music is something that changes over time. So I feel like who you work with is important with, you know, what they understand about music for this time. So like the first guy, right, the first guy I was doing tracks with, he didn't know any of the artists that I liked that I was trying to, you know, be influenced by.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of had to like really break things down slowly. But then this new guy who's just, he's, you know, he knows the music that I mm-hmm. know, and we just clicked. He's like, yeah, I love this artist. And it's just been working out really well. So
well, just even how you mic the vocals and how you then edit and EQ them is so important and can make you sound like, oh, you sound like Erykah Badu versus you sound like Britney. Like you could completely change the sound. So whoever is your audio engineer is very important.
Yes. And that's what I'm learning now, because I've been performing for years, but this is the first time that I'm really like getting into the studio and recording my music. So it's been a learning experience.
Are you working on getting signed? Do you want to get signed? Do you prefer to do kind of your own thing? Would you consider like a small independent label? Like what are you thinking about that?
So that's a great question. Honestly, you know, I feel like we're in a time where independent artists are making a whole living being independent and owning all the rights to their music, and I think that's great. I feel like for me, I just know that I want to do the work of, you know, finding my sound, writing my own songs, you know, putting my artistry out there and seeing how that develops. So right now I'm independent. Am I open to a label? Am I open to other opportunities? Yes. But it's important for me to work with people that I, you know, feel like they understand me and what I want, and I understand them, and we can work together. So I think that's the most important thing for me.
Totally.
So here's my song.
Yes.
Okay, let me try to get it like halfway.
Can't wait. We're all dancing.
So pretty. I love it.
I love
Very
that.
Very catchy. People don't realize making things that are catchy is actually really hard.
Really?
Yeah.
I love catchy everything.
No, everybody does. But even people that shit on like things for being too catchy, like it's actually quite a skill to write something that's like an earworm. You know what I mean?
Cool.
Yeah, that sticks with you. I think something that's, I'm wondering your advice for people that maybe want to put their music out there, but they're afraid to start. Like, do you have any advice for people that have a passion that they're just like keeping hidden? And because I think it's such a big accomplishment to really like go for it and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say to people? that?
Well, I would tell them what I tell myself. You only got one life to live. Yeah. So let's do it. I think for many years, I was just a coffee house artist. And I was in a small college town in Virginia. And literally every week, I would just perform at coffee shops, me and my guitar, and like try new songs that I wrote in my dorm room like that Friday night. And I always did that. And I was getting so comfortable doing that. And I loved the intimate crowd of like a small coffee shop. And then I realized, like, I want to record. I've always wanted to record. I've always wanted to record music. And then I realized that, like, years were going by, and I just didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if I say I want to do this, I got to do it. I just got to jump on it and do it. I think for me, it was more so getting used to my voice being recorded versus live. It's a completely different thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and that, it takes some time to get used to. So I would say if anybody wants to do this, like, just do it. Like, just try it. Because I feel like the more you put out music, the more you write, the more you do it, it's going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So.
Yeah, for sure. And do you have any tips for people growing their, like, social media? I think it's great that you have this music and your modeling. So follow at Gab the Guru so you could see a variety of things. It makes you stand out, makes you different. Mm-hmm. Anything else that people, like, a good tip that you follow?
For follower growth on Instagram?
Yeah, like just building or like anything about social media, like what's the importance?
Content creation in general, like any tips for like workflow or how you stay focused or what your, you know, particular opinions on like how often to post, just anything like your day to day.
So for me, because you know, posting is a part of our jobs as models and as influencers. I try to be consistent, whether that be like when I shoot with like friends or when I shoot with other photographers. I'm building that content and saving it up for times that I don't have anything to post because
Absolutely.
I don't want to be I don't want to disappear from like, because I feel like my dad, he doesn't do social media. He just thinks that it's just the weirdest thing to him because he's from a different time.
Mm-hmm.
But people almost feel like you don't exist unless you like post, unless you say like, I'm alive, you guys.
Yeah.
So the fight to stay relevant is, and to stay on top of the feed is, it's daily work. We have to stay on top of it.
It's daily work. And I commend all of you influencers who do this every day, because I'm not the one to do it every day. I'll do it weekly, but I think.
So how often do you post then?
I would say every 3 days.
Every 3 days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you're spot on, because I think consistency is the number one thing.
Yeah, for sure.
So I agree with that. And maybe it's time for the daily DM. Ooh, I can't wait to see what Gabby has in her box.
Would you like to go first, Gabby?
Sure, I'll go first, as I get these.
I'm so
all
excited.
The time.
I can't wait.
Here we go.
So this gentleman comes into my DM today and says, "Hi, I need a caring, curvy woman that can take care of me. Why don't you just ask your mother? I'm just saying, like, why are you asking me?"
They're out here looking for wives on Instagram. Yes, this is a common refrain that we are hearing. Also, me saying refrain today is a common refrain. Not sure why. But
I think, like, you're rich. Like, if you have a lot of following or you live in New York or you're a model, that, like, you have this just excess money that you're just willing to offer anyone.
We're all
strangers.
Curvy, so we're all eating. So they're all like, she has enough food. I want that, too.
Sure. Let me give it to you, stranger.
Here,
that I have no idea you
Take
are.
Take my Seamless password. Sure.
Go wild.
Things that would never happen. No one gets my Seamless password. No one.
No one. Okay, let's hear yours.
Mine is, I have it memorized because I screenshotted it and posted it in my stories the other day.
Okay.
So this guy reaches out and he's like, your ass, to a photo that didn't have my button in, by the way.
What?
Then to a video of me playing piano, he responds, wow, you are really fat.
I remember that. I remember you posted that.
I'm like, I call this catcalling syndrome, where they're just like, hey, baby, like, what? And then you walk away and they're like, fine, fuck you, you're fat, bitch. Blah. It's just like that classic.
Issues.
It's classic, classic. I'm like, so which one is it? My ass is fat. You're right.
Right.
Like,
did you block them? Is that what you would do? Or do you leave them around?
I just leave people because I feel like the algorithm's ruining my life so much lately that I'm just not going to mess with it.
But,
but it sucks because that's always something that I've been really insecure about, is like when I'm playing piano, I'll definitely get like my double chin, and people have been made fun of me about it my entire life. They're like, oh, you look so ugly while you're playing. Like, that's definitely been, as stupid as it is, a reason that I haven't posted as much on my Instagram, because people are always so shitty about how, like, the aesthetics of what I'm doing. Even friends of mine, like, have been shitty about, they're like, oh, you need to smile more or something. It's like, first of all, what? You're a woman that just told me to smile more, A. And B, right. like, I'm focused on what I'm doing. Like, you know, musicians, we're supposed to be able to, like, you know, put our heart and soul into it and not necessarily worry that I'm smizing or not, you know?
Right.
But, like, now in this age of, like, everything, aesthetics are so important, even in when we're trying to talk about plus size fashion and body positivity and all of those things, they still are so important, which mm-hmm. is so frustrating. So, you know, in our confidence episode, that's definitely something I'm still working on.
Yeah, well, like the same more. Thing with like my I started posting dancing videos and I'm like, I didn't get all the steps
way.
Right.
I love
I was like
too.
Nervous because I was like, I don't think I'm the best. I don't think like I got all the steps right or my hair's in my face and I'm not.
No, you're killing
me. I watch a lot of dancing videos. Yours are my favorite. Like, I love you have so much flow and style when you move.
I love it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to keep posting it because I got a good response.
And I love how happy I can tell how happy it makes you. And I love seeing you like feel sexy and feel empowered and love yourself like
we all like it. Yay, everyone go dance. And I think that's coming to the end of this episode.
What's your DM?
I know I was gonna say, but I feel like I don't know, do we have time?
Yeah,
well, there was a girl that reached out to me that is in Denver and she was talking about how to get into like modeling because she needed some advice.
Oh, but... okay, so we have almost no time. Quick 10 second tip, everyone.
Drink water and stay away from duck boys. I don't know if I can say the word.
You can say it. Say it. You can say it. Mine is take a lot of fucking photos. Go shoot with as many photographers as you possibly can and learn all of your angles ASAP right now.
And if you can make like trips to bigger cities like New York and LA and try to like meet with agencies there or have meetings set up or photo shoots, if you can do that, if you have the money to do it, I'd say yes. Do it.
Yay. And with that, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for having
thank
me.
Thank you.
Guys.
Please follow at Gab the Guru.
Yes.
Follow me.
At Gabby Faye on Spotify and iTunes.
And all the good spots.
And thanks for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me. You guys are awesome.
All right.
Bye.
See you. Bye.